The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Welcome to episode 5 of the 2 Points Podcast, a show where we talk all things basketball. And why are we called 2 Points?
Because two hosts, two perspectives, and 2 points in basketball are always better than one.
We're actually nearing the end of the season, but we're going to start off with our Best Player of the Week award.
So who's our best player of the week this time around?
Okay, a couple of good options. Luka. Well, we gave him Luka last week. Yeah. He's always been doing good. But I'm going to have to give it to another MVP favorite, Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
And, you know, it's Nikola Jokic. Of course, he's going to do good. He'll do good no matter what. Well, anyways, the stats would be last week he's gone 4-0 for the Nuggets. And in 3 of those games, he's recorded triple-doubles. Which is not, like, crazy surprising, because he usually gets...
He's
prone to triple-doubles. But his stats combined for the last week are 22.5 points per game, 15 boards, and 15 assists per game. That's pretty good. That's pretty crazy. 15 boards and 15 assists per game.
Yeah. And if you saw, there was a game, I think it was Denver and Dallas.
Denver and Dallas. That was yesterday, since today is March 26th when we're recording.
Yeah, so March 25th, that game happened. Everyone's talking about Jamal Murray's 53-point game.
Yes.
But that kind of is overshadowing Jokic's triple-double. He almost had 20, 20, and 20.
He was one assist off
one
of 20,
assist
20,
shy. 20. Like, and this is like something that like you so rarely see, but at the same time, you're like, oh, it's Jokic, you know? Just casual
If anyone
Jokic stuff.
Were to get it, it's Jokic.
If anyone can do it, it's Jokic. Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Now, I do want to give a shout-out to the rookies this week. VJ has been averaging 29 points over the last week.
Yep.
So he's kind of back to that taking 20 shots per game at the beginning of the season as he was.
Yeah.
Just because Maxi, Embiid, and Paul George have been out recently.
Yeah.
But, however, on the flip side of the best players, who's our worst player of the week?
We got to give worst player of the week this week to one of the worst teams in the league. Our worst player of the week is DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
See, I know. As Toronto guys, as a former Raptor, I mean, it sucks to give it to him. But.
Okay, I was actually struggling a little bit when deciding the worst player of the week, because I did want to give it to someone on Orlando, because they have gone 0-4 in the last week.
We'll check on
Orlando later, but it was hard to find someone specific on Orlando, but that might be a team chemistry thing. But DeMar DeRozan, you know, you could argue that he is playing on the Kings, who are probably telling him, yo, don't score the ball as much. Don't do as much in general. Yeah. We don't want to win, so you just don't have to do as much. But nonetheless, he's been scoring about 10 points a game over the last week, which is like, I mean, for a guy like DeRozan, it's not great, but it's also, at this point, at this late in the season, it's kind of expected. They beat the Nets. If that's an accomplishment.
I mean, but that's the Nets.
The Nets are also tanking. They didn't play Michael Porter. He's been out. And they didn't play Claxton. And they didn't play De'Ron Sharp. And they didn't play their rookies, Igor. So I don't know how big of an achievement that is. Another thing was the Kings, they lost by like 40 to the Charlotte Hornets. So,
yeah.
I mean,
it just seems like with the Kings is that, because DeMar, it's not like they're full-on tanking. They're just bad. They're like genuinely a terrible team.
Yes.
Like DeMar DeRozan, I think he's played like 70 games this season, and the season's not even done yet. So he's actually been playing. We know that he's capable. He might not be of, you know, all star, all NBA caliber anymore, but we know he's capable of still scoring pretty well, at least like 18 points per game.
Yeah.
This past upcoming week, he's only averaged like 10 points per game. Is it just he's on a bad team? Is it just because it's the end of the season he's giving up?
I think it's a mix of those factors. I'm sure if he wanted to, he could do better than that.
He totally could. I know. It just sucks with the way his career has gone down, because it seems like every team that he goes on, it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
As he's aging.
I mean, the beginning of his Chicago run, it wasn't too bad.
Like he had a resurgence
when he got traded to Chicago.
He did, but then Chicago fell apart for somehow.
Then he got dished out, and then LaVine got dished out too.
Yeah, it's funny
and
how
they went from losing on Chicago at 6 p.m. at 7 p.m. Eastern to now losing in the West Coast at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So it's the same thing.
It's funny how the Kings got DeRozan, and then they wanted to add another more piece, one more piece. They saw that DeRozan and LaVine didn't work in Chicago, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's do that too. Let's just replicate that real quick.
Let's grab the Bulls roster.
That didn't work out. Yeah, genius move by the Kings GM.
Okay, well, we're going to go for our little doctor's checkup segment. Who are we looking into today? Today, we already spoke on them a little bit. We're going to look into the Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic,
and yes, they have been a very up and down team this season. I think we talked about them a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
But this week specifically, they have gone 0-4. They lost to the Pacers, which is
Pacers. They snapped their 16-game losing streak against Orlando.
Yes, that's a bad look. That is a bad look. Right now, Orlando's at the 10th seed.
Yeah, they're under. As high, like, I think close to the beginning of the season.
As high as five? Yeah.
I think maybe they peaked at four at one point.
Maybe.
But they've fallen all the way to 10th. And yeah. It seems like you could partially blame it on injuries, but they still had an injured roster when they were, like, the fifth seed. Because Suggs has been injured. Wagner has been injured. It's just, like, not much has changed. It's just that their team chemistry is, like, gone down. And as we mentioned earlier, there's not really one specific player that we can point the blame to.
Yeah.
Because these guys aren't individually playing.
They're not individual playing, but I know before I spoke about how I'm a big Paolo hater.
Yeah.
But he's been, I would say, since the All-Star break, he has been playing better than he has actually been before the rest of the season.
Yes, he has.
And Bane has, basically, he's been an alright guy for that team. But, you know, they don't have Wagner. And they don't have Suggs recently, and Anthony Black, their six man, have been. I remember I tried to make a case for Anthony Black's six man of the year. Yeah. At this point, I don't think that's gonna happen because he's been so injured and he's been playing a starting role for so long. But for the Orlando Magic, it doesn't seem like they'll be making a push. So my question is, what are their next steps, assuming that they don't even make it out of the play-in?
Ooh, well, yeah, I mean, first you gotta see what happens. Do they make the play-in? Do they make the playoffs? Do they miss the playoffs? But at one point, what point do you have to look at their two top guys, Paolo and Wagner, and think, oh, is this not...
Is this the future?
Is this really the future? Is this really what we're paying Supermax contracts to? Because yes. One guy, Paolo, is up and down. The other guy, Wagner, has been injured like the last two seasons.
Yes, yes.
It's time... Because you can see guys like Anthony Black, he has potential.
Yes.
Jalen Suggs, I mean, he's been with injuries too.
He's been injuries, but he's also a consistently good defending guard.
Yeah, he is.
He's not too bad to have.
You got a Desmond Bane, which you paid a lot for. But he's been pretty solid for them. Like, he's been consistent for them.
Yeah.
It's really just the top two guys. Like, can those two guys really take you over the top?
That seems like for the past couple years, not really.
Yeah, it seems like they had one really good season. I think it was 2023?
Maybe.
I think Paolo's second year, 2023 or 2024, Paolo's second year, they took them to Game 7 against Cleveland.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes,
actually.
That was the season where Paolo Banchero really went off in the regular season and the playoffs, and pretty much most of the media world said, okay, this guy is the future of Orlando.
And now everyone's like thinking otherwise.
Yeah.
At this point. Well, hopefully they start to do better. I don't think that they will be making the playoffs, in my opinion, to be honest.
I mean, there's so much competition for like that range in between the 5 and the 10 seed.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition. Yeah. And I do think that the other teams that are kind of in that play-in area, like the Hornets, they've been, like, you know, the Hornets.
Yeah, Hornets are still climbing.
They've been on a hot streak since the All-Star break, really. And then you have teams like the Miami Heat, who are actually, it's like almost the opposite of the Orlando Magic. They're progressively getting healthier. They got Tyler Hero back consistently. They got Norman Powell. They got Bam Adebayo he's been doing great after his crazy historic performance.
He's still been doing good.
He's been doing good still. So I think they're like almost at an intersection where the Magic are going downwards and the Heat are going upwards. So I think the Heat and the Hornets are going to steal that 7-8 spot.
Heat and the Hornets are going to get that. Hawks and the Raptors are still like 5 and 6, so they're, I don't know what's going to happen if they move down there, but you can imagine like teams like the Hawks, the Raptors, the Heat and the Hornets, like you could argue that those teams are better than the Magic as of late.
Yes.
Those teams are moving up.
100% you can.
Those teams are moving up while Orlando's moving down.
Yes.
But another team that's been moving down, actually, in the standings is Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. I actually, you know, I remember that in the first episode, we said that Philly was a top five team.
Yes, we did.
West? In the East.
In the East.
Yeah, in the
yeah,
East.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah. when fully healthy,
they're
that's
good.
A good team.
That is a good team. They right now, they're at the seventh seed. But
Ooh.
They can be, since from the 5th to the 10th, they're all separated by only 3 games. So they can be up to the 5th if they want a couple more games. But recently, I think that the Sixers are in like an upward trajectory. I know that recently they've lost a lot. They've fallen down to that 7th, to that 8th spot because of injuries. But just yesterday, they got Embiid back and he had a 35-point game, like back from injury, like nothing happened. Paul George had a great game.
He had a great game.
I know
game
he was
back
on he was on PEDs apparently.
off
he
of
was,
his suspension.
He was doing performance enhancing drugs, which is we don't condone
no, we
using
do not,
performance enhancing drugs in the
condone that.
League, but he's back. He's been doing great. They might have to check him again, to be honest. He did really good actually.
Really
yes.
good, yeah. Who knows? He might get another 25-game suspension.
He might get another 20. It's really rare that a 2026 Paul George has a great performance like that.
Yeah.
But PG and Embiid have been back. And then, in my opinion, Edgecombe has been holding down the fort while these guys have been gone. Grimes
yeah.
has been holding down the fort. And now, I know Maxey, their main guy, has been out for like a while now. But they even anticipate him being back before the playoffs. So, even though they're the 7th seed, can a healthy 76ers team of Embiid, Maxey, Quentin Grimes, VJ, Paul George, Oubre, I know Oubre's been out too.
Yeah.
Can those guys make some noise in the postseason?
I think if fully healthy, and that's a huge if. If fully healthy, they definitely could. They have the star power for it. And even with like Maxey out, as you said, VJ Edgecombe's like been holding down that point guard, shooting guard spot pretty well. But I think fully healthy, I mean, yeah. I mean, you talk about having great star power in your starting lineup, and I know that's not everything. You know, typically, a lot of the top teams have good starters and a great bench.
Yeah.
Their bench is, like, not the best, but it's also not the worst.
It's not the best, but it's not the worst.
It's not the worst, but they have the star power, and I think that alone can probably take them into the playoffs. Will it get them past the first round? I can't guarantee that.
If they're the 7th, that there would be they would be what against the
Celtics?
The Celtics? Oh, actually I don't know.
No, Celtics have Tatum back now and Tatum's been playing pretty good, better than I thought
yes,
coming back.
Yes, he's been doing great
for
the team.
I don't think they would beat New York.
Mm.
New York's already beaten them in the playoffs recently, so that wouldn't work out. It would be interesting to see them against Cleveland. Because I don't know.
I feel like that's more evenly matched. Though.
That is more evenly matched.
That would be an interesting matchup.
And hey, if Kate Cunningham doesn't come back for Detroit anytime soon, especially leading into the playoffs, like, would it be a strategic move to try to get the 8th seed?
I think that's what Charlotte's trying to do right now.
Yes, to try to get the 8th seed to purposely face, like, a depleted Pistons team.
I mean, the Pistons, we know that Kate has been out for the collapsed lung, unfortunately. But
yeah, very unfortunate.
They have been... they're still in the 1 seed. I know last week we questioned if they can retain that 1 seed, but I know guys like Danis Jenkins.
Yeah.
He's been kind of like
up.
A silly season hero for them.
Career high
that.
30 the other night.
Yeah, he's been a silly season hero for the Pistons, and Durant has been stepping
Durant's
up a bit.
Still good.
A Thompson and Harris. These guys, I would say just don't count out the Pistons even though they don't have
no, don't.
K. Don't count
don't.
Them
they're
out.
Still
they can
they're still
yeah.
a good team with Al-K apparently.
Yeah.
Like,
I wouldn't say don't count them out, actually.
Don't do it, yeah.
And they potentially they might get Cade back for the start of the playoffs.
Hopefully.
That'd be very fortunate for those Pistons fans. Well, anyways, this brings me to my next topic. Some other news of last week. There's been a lot of controversy about that 65-game rule.
Yes.
I know, because I feel like this whole season has been so like strange in terms of awards. Because people were like, oh, especially the MVP race. It's been like, oh, this guy, we want to give him MVP, but he's been out a lot. This guy, been out a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Jokic, Luka, these guys were, like, on edge of getting any, like, recognition, like, all NBA teams because of that 65-game rule. And now since Cade's recent injury, a lot of people are kind of angry about that 65-game rule because Cade's at 61 games played. And yeah. It's really, he's been pretty healthy otherwise. It's not something you can really control. Like, this is a collapsed lung. Yeah. This is a serious injury. Obviously, he couldn't control something like this.
Yeah.
So, is it fair for him to just get... Because not only does he lose out on the awards, but he loses out on contracts. These players yes. lose out on very hundreds of millions of dollars yes, because of this 65-game rule. So, a lot of people were asking, is it fair that it's 65 games and rules? Should it be a different structure? Like... It doesn't have to be exactly 65, or should it be a different method of structuring how the awards are given in the league?
Yeah. I think the second that this 65-game rule started getting implemented into the league, it's been super controversial. Mm. There's a lot of mixed opinions on it. I'll just cut straight to the chase. In my opinion, I think this is not a good rule.
Right.
I think it's pretty bad to limit to 65 games, and... Yeah. The original intention of it was to stop load management.
Yes,
where,
that
like,
is true.
Where like players like notably like Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi
or
in
Paul
the 2019
George,
would do that a lot.
Like they would purposely miss games when they're mostly healthy just so they can just be sure that they're
especially
good for
the games
run.
That they played that don't really matter, like lower like bad yeah. or worse teams.
So I think that was the intention of the 65-game rule, was to stop load management. But I think it gets to a point where you realize when this rule has sort of hurt the status of some players, like the in terms of getting awards and individual recognition. I think the 65-game rule doesn't really do what it was supposed to, because at this point, players are getting injured more than ever before.
Yes,
it's not like they're doing it on purpose. It's not like there's faking injuries or anything.
Well,
most players are not faking injuries.
Well,
players
on competitive teams are not faking injuries. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, most of them. I mean, we talked about the Utah Jazz earlier and all that, but it's just that players are getting injured more than usual, more than like you say in the 90s and the early 2000s, and at that point you can't stop that. It just seems like you can't stop that. And limiting every player to like the 65-game rule, I think, is completely unfair for like a situation like an injury where you can't control whether you're there or not. Because either way, people are like, "Oh, if you don't play 65 games, you're not showing up. You don't get awards." That's the other argument.
But
I feel like injuries, one, you can't control. Two, these players still show up to practice. They still show up to their meetings with coaches. They show up to the games. They're still there. They just can't play, and that's not their choice.
Yeah. Another thing about that was that recently there was like a clip of Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if you saw his eye. He had like the Scottie Barnes thing last year where his eye's like completely red.
Oh.
Like a orbital fracture or something. So he's like half, he's like one eye's normal, one eye's like completely red.
Yeah.
And he's still playing because he's like, "Oh, I don't want to miss the 65-game rule."
Yeah.
So at that point, is it hindering even like player health? Like, why does Donovan Mitchell really need to be playing with one eye in order to hit this 65-game rule?
Yeah, and I think if you do need to load manage, then like that's what you have to do. I mean, obviously there's an extreme case with like, you know, as I mentioned, Kawhi and Paul George when they're on the Clippers. But if it's like a legitimate injury, you can't just look at that and say, "Oh, it's not a legit injury. You have to play."
Yeah.
Like, that's what the 65-game rule basically does. And we're seeing it now with a guy like Cade Cunningham, who everybody knows he's first team All-NBA.
Yes, he's elite.
Everybody knows he's an MVP candidate. Everybody knows how good he is. And now, because of his collapsed lung, they're just going to take that away from him.
They just take everything away from him. They're literally taking the money.
Even though he played
from him,
60 games to the best of his ability, leading the Pistons to the one seed, it's just like,
it's
just all gone. All of that hard work and effort throughout the season for him, just gone.
Yeah.
They're just like stripping that away from him, it feels like.
So they're thinking about, I know the NBA is like in talks of restructuring that system. Another thing that they've been talking about recently was restructuring the draft lottery.
Because of the excess
amount of tanking we've seen this season. I know we've seen tanking in the past years before, but I feel like this year has been some wicked tanking.
Yeah, you got like a third of the league tanking.
A third of the league is tanking. As soon as the All-Star break was like passed, I feel like teams were like, "Okay, let's start tanking."
Yeah.
Like, we got teams like Utah. We talked about Utah
Now. Utah, even though they have a good team.
They don't even play like their bench guys.
Yeah, no. They have
like,
a good
Collier
team.
Collier doesn't
tanking.
Play anymore. Like, they're playing Cody Williams. They got a dude. I was talking about this with my friend the other day. His name's like Mez Mbang.
Who the heck
okay,
is that?
Okay, exactly. You don't know this guy.
I can't name that guy.
Would you believe me if Mez Mbang, I think that's his name, played 42 minutes yesterday for the Utah Jazz?
No. No, okay, well, I don't know who that,
He played 44 minutes, no overtime
that's
or anything.
That's like more minutes than you give a traditional starter.
Yeah, they gave him more minutes than like Ace Bailey and like other guys.
Yeah.
So I know that they want to reconsider that draft lottery because the tanking's been too crazy recently. So I wonder how they're going to fix up with that.
Yeah.
Well, anyways,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, the draft lottery, it's an interesting situation because it feels like tanking is more happening more so than ever. But I think a reason for that is actually because they changed, like years ago, they changed it from like where the top three teams have 14% and then the rest of the teams have an increased chance. Like, you don't have to be the worst team in the league to get that top pick.
Yeah.
I think that sort of changed things because now people can start tanking at like the eighth worst record and they still believe that as long as they tank, they still think they have a chance at the number one pick.
Yes.
So I think giving more teams an increased chance at that pick is actually going to increase tanking.
Yes. So that's true. Yeah, you're right.
So honestly, I think what Adam Silver, and he's been like pro like removing tanking, he's been pro like 65 game rule. I think all these things that he's implementing to stop tanking, to stop injuries, like like honestly, I don't think they're working.
Yeah, probably not.
They're not.
Yes, I don't think they're
working. Like everything he's done in the past few years, all these rules that he's put into place, like nothing's been fixed yet.
No.
In fact, everything's getting worse. So
yeah, everything's gotten a bit. Like I don't think these conversations were as prevalent in earlier seasons.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, another thing about the draft lottery is that this year's rookies have been going crazy, like I've said before.
Yes, this
like,
is one of the best rookie classes.
And another thing I wanted to add about your last point, you said that teams that are not the worst have been getting like the number one pick. You think of like
Dallas. Dallas and Atlanta.
And Atlanta getting, I know Richey was not the crazy, like profound number one pick, but you think of those guys, like how did Atlanta and Dallas
exactly
the number one pick those
and with that you think of the team like who's a team that's like the Milwaukee Bucks, they're 11th in the East, so they're not the worst team, but you can think of it as like they can still tank because they still have a chance in the number one pick, which is kind of wild.
We want to cover some of the games, some notable games for you guys see in the next in the upcoming week.
Yeah, let's watch some games from actual competitive teams now.
Okay, actual competitive teams. Okay, on the 4th of April, I have the Spurs playing the Nuggets.
Ooh,
Wemby versus Jokic. It's always a good matchup.
They've had some good matchups in previous years, too.
They have some. Okay, and then one after that, I have on April 6th. This one's less like prevalent because Trae Young's not on this team. But the Knicks and the Hawks, there's a rivalry there.
Yeah, they always have
that. Trae Young rolled dice in MSG.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes because Trae Young's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But Hawks are doing well, so they should be able to keep up with the Knicks.
I still expect to hear some like F Trae Young chants in that crowd. They'll never let that go.
I wonder if they'll keep that going when Trae Young plays for Washington.
Yes, of course they'll let that go.
Even though the Wizards are completely like not good.
Trae Young is like public enemy number one on the Knicks. And the last game I have is gonna be on the 9th of April. It's going to be the Lakers versus the Warriors. And I really hope that Curry's back because Curry and LeBron always have a great game against each other.
Your typical national TV.
It's national TV. It's basically the two biggest teams fighting each other. But hopefully, I think that should be a good game. And is there anything else you want to cover here this week? It's almost the end of the season, y'all. There's a lot of fighting for seeding. So hopefully, by next week, we should be able to give some playoff predictions, some bracket predictions. Yeah.
Next week, I expect a lot of the standings to be completely different than they were today when we were talking about it.
Honestly, yeah.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll hopefully make some playoff predictions, maybe final awards predictions.
Yes, let's do that.
A lot of updates to cover up for next week.
Yes.
Anyways, but that's going to wrap up the fifth episode
of 2 Points Podcast. Thanks for listening, Gavin.
Thank you, guys.